This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses. Hey guys, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, and I have the most fabulous guest today. I was actually searching through social media when I found her work, and I was just completely floored. It's Barbie the Welder, and not only is she a metal artist, she is a published author with some really cool books out there. Her most recent one, Fuck You Fuel, which I'm in the process of reading, which is really great. Such an inspirational story. Hey, Barbie, how are you?
Amazing. How are you doing?
Well, not too bad. Not too bad. Where are you at? I didn't even ask. Where are you located?
I am in Erin, New York.
Really?
It's upstate. I say upstate to let people know it's the redneck part of New York and not the city. We're Southern Finger Lakes, a really beautiful area.
And this time of year is fall. I'm sure it's gorgeous.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I don't like that it's getting cold, but I sure as heck love the show that nature puts on for us every year.
It's impressive. I'm from the Midwest. In Texas, we don't get fall. It goes from green to brown. Oh. We don't get all those beautiful colors.
So I'm coming to visit Texas here. I think next week I'll have to look at my schedule. Going out to Austin for the first time, and I'm super stoked.
What are you going to Austin for?
Formula One, baby.
Awesome. Is it interesting, very hippie, trendy, from Tesla to, you know.
Oh, is Tesla there? I didn't know Tesla was there. That's awesome. Yeah, I know their motto is keep Austin weird, and I'm just like, yes, baby, I can help you with this.
I mean, and it's always been that way. There's not as many honky-tonks as there used to be. Like, when I first moved to Texas, we would go see Jerry Jeff Walker at the Broken Spoke, which is, like, a true Texas honky-tonk thing, and they don't have that anymore, and it's sad that it's gone. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of different things. So, anyways, so I have to ask, what got you into being a metal artist?
Oh, it's wild, really, because at the time I had zero artistic talent, and I've never welded before. I had seen welding here or there, but ultimately what led me to where I am today is the movie Castaway starring Tom Hanks. There is this woman in the beginning of the movie who is in like this big barn, and she's in there welding these giant angel wings, and it just spoke to my soul and weirdly like knew just inside, like, this is what I'm meant to be, which makes no sense, because if you see me draw stick figures, they're questionable at best.
Since I was reading your book and I read that story, and I went back and watched that clip, and those are some pretty impressive angel wings. I mean, they're taller than she is. I mean, but as I've seen the movie, and I didn't even remember that as being part of the movie. That's how small it is. But it's just amazing that it really spoke to you. Yeah. And I have a really hard time believing, seeing your work, that you didn't do anything artistically before then.
Box forts. I'm really gnarly good at building box forts. So I mean, like, yeah, I've got some creativity there. But just, you know, like, never. I didn't feel like I was artistic because I couldn't draw. I still, like, my drawing is, I've got so much more practice now than ever. But my clients will come to me like, hey, can you draw that? I'm like, not a chance. Like, I will send you a picture. I'm like, imagine this, but in steel.
Exactly. Perfect. As long as you can convey it. Because, I mean, your work is just amazing. I've been looking. And I personally have three daughters. And my middle daughter, it wants to go to be a tattoo artist. And I'm like, okay, that's an option. But look at this. Look.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. If she wants to do the tattoo artist, they're the artist that I admire the most of all artists, and this is, well, all due respect, people, I'm so sorry, but tattoo artists, you've got one and done. Like, I've got a sculpture sitting right here. When I screw something up, and I do a lot, I can cut it out or cut it off or grind it down or weld over it. It's metal is so forgiving. When you look at a tattoo artist, and I've got work, you know, I've got a bunch of art done through tattoo artists. I just have the utmost respect for them because of how perfect they have to be the first time. There's no do-overs with that. So you might not be like all excited about it, but I applaud that. There is definitely a level of, I feel like, self-belief that would create that would just be exquisite for a human being to have that.
a promoter in art. I just want her to realize that she has a bunch of options, that doesn't have to go to a 4-year, university, you know, just keep the option open. And so, and bring that up. What did your life look like when you saw that clip?
Oh, this is dark. My goodness. So I, just a quick backstory, dealt with depression all my life. Had no idea I was depressed. Was suicidal for a major portion of my life. And I was, math on how old I was. Gosh. 2007, I'm mathing. I think I was 31 at the time of finding welding, give or take. Time doesn't exist for me. I was in my second marriage. We had a child together, and then we each had a child from a previous relationship. We were on welfare. I was working. He worked on and off over the 8 years we were married, but mostly off. The two of us had, together, had just like a gnarly background. I'd come out of heavy drug addiction and alcoholism. And I was at AA before I was even 21. I created for myself a life I felt like I deserved, which is shit. I laugh about it now. It's not funny, but it's, I gave myself exactly what I felt like I deserved. I didn't feel like I deserved to have anything good. And so there I sat. We were on government subsidized housing, which I was working full time for myself as a, I was hauling scrap metal and then also pulling parts off of cars at Pick Apart and selling them on eBay, and was super miserable. Even though I had gone through the drug addiction and had come out the other side of it, luckily, I was still on a lot of medication. They told me I would never get off the medication. I'd always have to have this medication. We'd gone next door to the neighbor's house to watch a movie, and Castaway is what showed up. And from all that, I have pulled myself up by my bootstraps to live a life today that is beyond my wildest dreams. I've lived it over the course of the last like 14-ish years, 14, 15 years. I still don't believe myself half the time with what's happened, with the opportunities that I've been blessed with, the companies that reach out to me and want to work to me, to, you know, to be invited onto a podcast, to share my story. It's deeply humbling.
What was, I know you probably have a bunch of things to list, but that was such a hard fight. What was the one most determining factor that kept you going?
I'm a stubborn SOB. I got that picture in my head of this is what, and I didn't see sculpture, weirdly. Like, I had no idea what I was going to create. I just knew I needed to create art. I didn't know it was even considered art. It took me years to even call myself an artist. I felt like such a fraud. But the fact that I dig in like a tick and I don't let go, and that wherewithal, it started out being like, you know, I'm stubborn and digging like a tick. A lot of it turned into that fuck you fuel. It was, fuck you, I'll show you. I had so many people, like, you know, I get a little, you know, make a little bit of progress, and like, just people don't believe in me. Like, people were, which I mean, like, obviously, I wasn't giving them very much to work with. But I was still like pissed off. Like, I'm like, I'm going to go to school for welding. And everyone was like, that's stupid. And maybe not in those words, but like what I took away from was like, that's stupid. It's a waste of money. It doesn't make any sense. They couldn't see the entire staircase. I saw the first step. I didn't know the staircase. I knew what the first step was. I felt like I was learning to weld. But everyone else is just like, what the hell? Like, why? Like, I was making, like, together we were making 10 grand a year to support a family of five. I was paying my husband's daughter's child support. That is not my kid. I was paying his child support because he wouldn't pay it. I mean, like, it was just, there was no money. There was no money. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to school for this. And it just didn't make sense to anyone. And I get it, but still was just like, fuck you guys for not believing in me. Like, shame.
Were you afraid?
Actually, no.
Or were you too mad?
I think that it was... We're going to call it my addictive personality, which I think is a horrible thing to say. But when I, you know, drugs, I didn't go halfway on it. I went all the way. Alcohol, same thing. So when I do something, and I don't think addictive personality is the right word. I'm going to have to come up with something new to call that. Oh,
tenacity.
Tenacity. Thank you. So, you know, there's always a positive way to spin it. I took something that was working against me and used it to my advantage. So that personality of like, I go all in, I put that into this. And so there wasn't really, God, it's so surreal. There was never a plan B. I didn't know how I was going to become a sculptor. I just knew the first step was to be a welder. And like, I didn't know what sculpture. I mean, really, I just like, I needed to weld like those wings. Like that's where my brain was, I think. As far as that goes, but yeah.
So how big, I mean, now that you've come through that and been through that, which is an amazing story, how big of a component is and was and is your mindset?
It's everything.
Just in general.
Mindset is everything. You literally create your life. And I don't know if people like this or not when I say it, but fuck them if they can't take a joke. If you don't like your life, you created that. I don't care what anyone's done to you. And this is with all due respect, because I've gone through hell and back several times. I created that for myself because I believed that's what I deserved. Today, I have a much different life. We're talking night and day. And I created this because this is what I feel like I deserve. Now, I didn't set out to give myself a better life. I had no idea that any of this stuff would happen. I didn't know that I could cure myself from depression, from addictions, from low self-esteem. But what ended up happening is when I was having these small successes, like I saved up the money to go to school, like that was massive for me, considering all the negativity I had around me. That was a little win. That was a freaking huge win. That was a win. Just, we'll chalk it as a win. And then my first day at school, the teacher was just perfect. Perfect. That's a win. I mean, I already knew I was in love with welding before I even touched a welder. And then touched a welder. Like, I had been dreaming about it. I mean, like, obsessed. Like, happily obsessed with this.
And so just the little wins along the way that gave you strength. Because that's a complete 180 mindset shift from thinking I'm a piece of shit. I've had all this shit happen to me. I'm a victim, you know, and I don't deserve any better to go to... And especially, not only are you trying your hardest, but then everybody's telling you you can't, or it's stupid, or you're never going to do it. And, you know, it just, it's an amazing accomplishment. So that being said, what are some of the things that are on your joy list that bring you joy now in your life?
Oh my gosh, family is so far up at number one. I have two sons that just fill my heart with joy. I have a grandson. That's the first time I've ever said that. I'm a grandbaby now.
Baby, brand new?
Brand new. Yeah, I'm new to this. It took me, I don't know, 9 months to figure out a grandma name because grandma to me is like super old. And I'm just like, I don't identify.
Usually they pick him for you, right? They'll start calling you.
I feel like when he's ready, yeah, he's going to, I can't wait to weld with him. Yeah, family's number one. I spend a lot of time with my family. Sculpting is definitely number two. But when I'm not sculpting, anything on the water, whether it's fishing or kayaking or boating, and I've got a Harley that I love to get my knees in the breeze. It makes me super happy.
Yeah, one of the things on my joy list is we have a jet ski, and that makes me really happy to go really fast.
Oh yes, I know. I'm Ricky Bell. I want to go fast.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I never realized how much I missed. I had a fast car when I was younger, just kind of by accident, because my dad went through a midlife crisis and after he got divorced from my mom, bought a Camaro, and then, so that was my first car, an '86 Camaro, and I really loved it. And then, you know, I've gone from having kids and driving SUV until I bought myself an Audi, which I'm like, oh yeah.
And I was like, oh, I have steel toe boots on. It must be that my foot's extra heavy. I race everybody, like whether they know it or not. Like, I was an auto mechanic before I was a welder. Cars were my first love. And just still, like, anything with a motor makes me happy, man. Uh-huh. Put me at the races. That's my Formula One. Formula One is like the top echelon of all racing. And I'm just like very new to it, but just madly in love with every aspect of it. And I'm learning about MotoGP also. So
what is that?
It is the motorcycles that race, like Formula One cars. Like, and I don't need, like, they race the same tracks. It's the motorcycle racing where they turn so sharply that their knees grind on the ground. So I don't know how else to describe it. I just learned about it this year. I'm like, where have you been all my life?
You're going to go try it? I don't know if I would try it.
Hell no. The Harley is good. Like the Harley, like it just, you know, the motorcycle, no. In a Formula One car, like hell yes. But I don't have, like, I've ridden on two wheels like many, many years. Like I grew up riding dirt bikes, but I don't have enough road. I've got maybe like 5,000 miles on a bike, maybe. Definitely don't feel comfortable enough to go super fast on a bike like that. But a car, like I would definitely do anything sketchy in a car. Like want me to jump through a trailer? Like sign me up. Like I would love to. The Hans device and a roll cage. Like that's all I need.
All right. So, and one of your other books that I bought, I haven't got to read the whole thing yet. You talk about having a blueprint for your life.
Yeah.
Do you have one now? What are you currently working on? What are your future plans?
Oh my gosh. Live as long as humanly possible so I can continue making sculptures and art that makes people feel, that makes me feel, that makes other people feel that, yeah, a bigger shop. I've got so many ideas on products that I'm going to create. I am going to eventually take on an apprentice or possibly apprentice. Is that like the multiple apprentices? I want my art to not die with me. And so, like, my kids are not interested. It's just not their bag, which is really cool because this gets to be, you know, this is me time. But I teach through YouTube. I teach through a couple of books that I've written, but I really want to share like the nuts and bolts of what I'm doing, like of how I'm getting the textures, how I'm shaping a human being, how I'm, you know, characters and being able to take that and break it down into shapes to make it. And I don't know if my videos would ever do something like be able to explain it on such a level that I could, to just be able to, you know, take a couple people in that are passionate like I was, and I don't care what their skill level is. But yeah, stay tuned for that one. I've got some ideas on how to hire an apprentice. I'm super stoked about.
Oh, really?
Like, but first things first is a bigger shop in a warmer state.
Well, Texas is a great place. New York is New York, but you know, I like Texas, and I hated the cold. That's why I moved here.
I'm going somewhere where. But if I could get 80 degrees all year round and still have mountains, like, I'd be there in a heartbeat. Yeah. I need to have water, and I need to have some kind of, well, hills. Doesn't have to be mountains. I'm not that bougie.
You got East Texas, but there's not a whole lot out there. It's kind of desert.
Yes, yeah, so I don't mind. I weirdly have been attracted to the, like, I'm a country girl. I have tailgates and bonfires and, you know, cans of Coors Light. But weirdly, like all my life, I've dreamed about like this little oasis in the woods that I've created for myself. And this is long before I ever welded. But this year, I got hit with like this, I don't know, just instinct or intuition or whatever. I'm seeing a firehouse in like a city, like an old abandoned firehouse in a city, and like living in that and working, because I love traveling and the culture of cities. I don't like, we're very one note here. It's a beautiful, beautiful town. I've lived here for 10 years. This is like 15 minutes from where I was born. I love this area. But man, I go out to Chicago, or I go out to Vegas, or I go to Phoenix, and just like the food, the culture, the people, there's so much inspiration there. So I may just find me a little nook in a city, see what happens. World is my oyster.
Awesome. That's an awesome place to be, right? And so what would you tell about to girls or women that are like afraid to get in the trades or think they can't handle it? It's only for men, especially if you're looking for an apprentice. What would, like, if you could have a girl apprentice, what would you tell her that so she wouldn't be afraid?
Oh my gosh. First of all, as human beings, we're so much more powerful than we ever give ourselves credit for. Working in the trade built my self-esteem. It built me. The things I set out to build, they built me. And so anyone that's even considering the trades, it's just such a, like, you have the benefits that many people tout, which is the money and the job security. And like, you can go anywhere with this, like the variety of jobs in the trades. But I don't know if many people really get how much the trades build us. Yes, as a single mom, I was able to pull my family off of welfare, bought this house, by myself with no one co-signing. Like, I was able to support my kids as a single mom on my own with my income because of the trades. But more importantly is I have released myself from low self-esteem, from depression, from alcoholism, from drug addiction. All that stuff is gone. And it's because of the trades. It's because of those small wins that I was having as I was having these small successes. I'd get a little, you get a little bit of self-esteem. And I didn't know this as it was going on. It's something that I was able to look back and see after a couple of years. I went, holy crap. Like, it just kind of like, again, doctor told me I'd be on medicine all my life. So it builds self-esteem. It builds people. I can't recommend a career in the trades enough if you enjoy working with your hands. There's such a huge like gift. There's such a huge moment in that, like, where you create something, and whether it's from a blueprint or from a picture in your mind, even just simple slapping something together, it's like you made that. There's such a sense of self-satisfaction in that self-pride. I'm like, it came from my mind. It's there. It exists now and it didn't before. And it's because of my hands and my mind. And so, it just gives you so much. I can't recommend the trades enough. I literally have turned into a huge advocate for the trades because of what it's done for my life.
That's hugely amazing. And so, you have several books out there. Some are trade specific, but some are, helping people have better mindset, helping people have better lives based on what you've been through and the things that you've used. Why is that important to you? It's not easy to write a book, and you've written several. Why is that important to you?
Because I know how awful it feels to be depressed. I know how awful it is to have a life that you hate. I know how it feels to drive down the road and want to just jerk the wheel over and drive the car into a tree. Like, that was my life. Went through, like, cutting myself, all the stuff. Any self-hatred thing you can think of, pretty much I did it, except for starving. I like to eat. I like food. But knowing how that felt when I figured out what I figured out, it became necessary to share that with other people because my life felt so damn good. I'm like, everyone needs this. Like, everyone is like, this is available for everyone. I'm not fucking special. I am nobody special. I am Joe Schmo. This is available for everyone. And literally, like, your life could change in fucking seconds. Like, it doesn't take, knowing, like, basically once you know the code, it's like, it's easy, right? Like, the first time is always hard to do something, but once you figure that formula, that's the word I'm looking for. Once you know that formula, it's freaking much easier to do it. And writing Inspiration Blueprint, which is my first inspiration book, it just happened. It was one of those things. It's just like I said, I don't know what the whole staircase looks like. I know what this step is. And that step was like, I'm going to cry. Like, your life is so damn good. Like, you need to let other people know that this is available for them too. you know, like that you can make a choice today. Like, yes, it's scary to leave a husband. I wasn't happy. And my kids were growing up watching this man who was a drug addict and an alcoholic. And I'm like, my God, like it was so, so hard to leave him. Like we have a family, like my second marriage, like that was my second. And I had my first one. I was like, I've already fucked one up. Like this is number two. Like really to tear the kids apart. The kids, you know, they loved each other. That's family. It was such a hard decision, but making that decision, like my kids didn't grow up thinking that that's how a man acts. That was so important. Seeing the decisions that I made and how they affected everything. It just, everyone needs to know, like, look at, like, yeah, this is tough. But I, like, who is it? Les Brown. Les Brown has a saying. He's a public speaker. There should be better words for him. He's an amazing, amazing, amazing human being. I cannot recommend listening to his speech enough. Just go search Les Brown. He says, each one, teach one. Like when you get yourself up to a certain point, he says, you turn around, you put your hand out and you help other people up. And it's just something that has, like, I just feel so damn honored to be here. And I want that for everybody. I want that self-pride, that self-belief that, you know, I don't have to be on welfare because I'm a single mom. Like that was a belief that I was a single mom that I have to be on welfare. This is who I am. And just being able to go in and let other people know, like, look, there's more. There's more. Like, there's a lot of single moms that make a hell of a lot more money than I do. But you don't have to be, you know, poor. And so, like, writing that book, one, I think it cemented it to myself. You know, lock it in a little bit. Because I do. I write messages to myself. I write these books and I do my live streams. And these are things that I need to hear sometimes. If other people can read that or see it and they're inspired by it, like, you know, Tom Hanks has no clue, and that woman that was welding in that movie, they have no clue how they shaped the last 15 years of my life. But because they made that decision, like, here I am. And there are people that reach out to me and they're like, Barbie, like, you inspired me to do this, and my son's in welding now because of you. Like, I have to give back. Like, I can't explain it, but I have to. It's the same way as, like, I have to be a sculptor. I can't explain why. There's no words that, like, why I have to. I'm just so drawn. But yes, to all, like, helping everyone, as many people as I can. I'm so fucking blessed today in the life that I have and the opportunities I've been given. I want as many people that want that for themselves to have that for themselves.
And I think you're right. I think it comes from a place of gratitude. And when you've been in a place where it's shit, and when you've been in a place where, you know, I grew up, sometimes we didn't have electricity. Sometimes you know what I'm saying? When you've been there and you're just so grateful that it's not that way anymore. Mm-hmm. And that to share that with the world is an amazing thing. Oh, yeah. And I could say as a self-help book junkie, I love your books. They are honest. They are real, which is somebody needs to hear. There's no special pill that you're going to take that's going to make you get this done. You just got to decide and then reach for the tools. And I think your books are great tools to get that done and help people do that. And we'll put all of the links. Your website is Barbie the Welder.
Yeah.
I know you're on LinkedIn, Instagram. Are you on Facebook too?
Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. A little bit different on each platform, which is fun because it lets me feed all sides of, like, I like to be inspirational on LinkedIn, and over on TikTok I can be badass and silly. It's wonderful. I love it.
Oh, and you're on Etsy too. You have an Etsy shop that I went there.
I have an Etsy shop. That is where I sell my art completely online. So I have my books are available. Some of my books are available through my Etsy shop, and I sign those. And if you want a personal note, just say something in the notes and I'll happily do it. And I've been throwing in all kinds of extra goodies because, again, it's that. Oh, it's so much fun. I have a bunch of stickers. If you guys like stickers, just, oh my gosh, buy one sticker, I'll send you 10. It's fun.
I saw your stickers. They're really cool. Especially with the FU ones with the rocket, and very cool. Very cool stuff. And I appreciate you, and I think you're doing an amazing job out there, and it's just so cool to see, because I think, you know, we're in this together, and whatever, however else we can help somebody. And just like that 40-second video, that clip of that movie spoke to you, your work speaks to people that way. And I wanted to say too, that you can commission work too. Like, I'm seriously thinking once my office gets settled, I'm going to send you a picture of my logo that I would like you to do in metal. That'd be so cool.
Awesome. I am currently booked out until next July at this point.
That's awesome.
So it's a good problem to have. It's freaking mind-boggling. And I got a quote out for a job that's a six-month job. So we'll see how that goes.
So nice to be wanted.
Oh, yeah. It's been a massive game changer.
Awesome.
Massive, massive game changer. So I'm so, so grateful that you took your time to talk with me today and share my story. It means the absolute world to me.
Ditto. I'm so great that you did it on here. Like I said, you're amazing. I love all your work. And thank you so much for being here. Like I said, we'll put everything in the show notes so people can reach out to you.
Awesome. Thank you kindly.
Thanks. Have a great evening, Miss Barbie.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Tune in 2 weeks from now for a new episode. Thank you.